With the view from her Jerusalem window, here's Andrea Simontov.
Hello, Andrea. How are you?
Super. So today, what were you like in China or something, or in India or Pakistan or something like over the last 4 days?
What? Where did that come from?
Facebook.
Okay.
Apparently, I went to Allahabad in India.
Okay. Hello. I'm not that dense yet. I've also been like going crazy trying to find out what's going on with the Shabbos project.
You had time to do that given the week that you've had time to do that.
No, I'm only doing it right now because the week we've had, actually, I'm blinking back tears. What is going on outside of my Jerusalem window are fighter planes. Fighter planes exercising, fighter planes doing dives, and we have had, I don't know if it's 48, 72 hours. I actually have my phone on. You know, we keep these red alert notices, and I don't do the whole country generally. I just, you know, where I have loved ones, because you could keep up. It was more than 500 missiles. Each missile could have built a classroom. And we've been under siege, and I have to tell you, everybody's tired. Very tired. The ceasefire apparently went into effect at 5:30 this morning, an hour and a half before I went on the air, and there were like three or four missiles after the ceasefire.
Really?
So, yeah, but apparently, well, it's holding for the afternoon so far. The last one was, according to my calculations, 11 o'clock this morning. So, you know, I mean, babies, it's really traumatic. They're sending out flyers to parents how to conduct yourself when you take your babies into the bomb shelter. And people are just putting their babies down south. They're putting them to sleep anyway in the bomb shelter, because to wake them is far more terrifying than to just have them spend the night there. It's not normal.
Have you had any sirens go off in the Jerusalem area?
Not that I have heard. Somebody did tell me that near the Atarot there was. I have children living in Modi'in, and apparently there was there as well. But so far, not. Tel Aviv, there were today? Today's Thursday. But I think Tuesday morning, my son received a message. He lives in Tel Aviv, telling him not to come to work. And then about 11:30, they said, come on in. I mean, schools are closed. Parents have to work. You know, they're not closing all the workplaces. So I know of one story, a family in Modi'in, which is really like central. It's smack dab between Tel Aviv and Jerusalem on the 443 highway. And, I mean, you have a mother with four kids. She's an executive in Tel Aviv. Her husband works out of the home, and he's called up to reserve duty. And suddenly, she has to make all of these decisions. It's just madness. I'll tell you something else which I find interesting. I have a son, another son. The kids are just reproducing as we're speaking. So I have another son who is a business owner. He owns a makolet, a small grocery store in Modi'in. And I asked him, I said, you know, what's the shopping like? He said, sadly, it's great for business. But he sees a huge difference in the older Israelis and the younger ones. The older ones, the ones who lived through, say, the Gulf War and even the 73 Yom Kippur War, they're coming in and they're stocking up. It's like a bunker mentality. And the younger ones, the young 30 and under, very lackadaisical, almost, you know, apathetic. When Israelis, when Jews start to become apathetic, we have a problem. We have sometimes, in my opinion, you know, I think we have a bigger problem than our enemies. What's happened to us? This has become the new normal, and it's not okay.
That is such an interesting take on things. I'd never, ever thought of it in those terms. My kind of understanding was, you know, it's okay because it's happening down there south in the Gaza envelope. And somehow I thought, well, you know, if it starts hitting the suburbs of Tel Aviv, well, then there'd be a very different take on events. And like you say, Andrea, it doesn't seem to be the case.
You know, Simon, you just said something that's so poignant. Israel is, I have to tell you, I grew up in America. I lived my first 39 years in America. And, we were separate. We were a separate community. It wasn't that you didn't feel sad if a soldier was injured or killed overseas, but somehow they were them and we were us. And this is not a source of pride, what I'm sharing with you. But even though we were American, it wasn't that same tapestry, that same heartbeat. You know, the cultures, everyone says America's a melting pot, but in my opinion, it was more of a tossed salad. Mm-hmm. Like the tomatoes stayed with the tomatoes and the cabbage. You know, and Israel, if there is a mother weeping in Beersheba or Sderot or in Kibbutz Alomim, nobody up north or in different parts of the country or that out of the range of, you know, target, out of the crosshairs, nobody breathes and says, whew, not me. Weddings, crazy. There was supposed to be weddings in Beersheba. And great example. I mean, it's been all over the news. Netta Barzilai, this singer who sang that, you know, monstrosity of a song, A Toy, yes. 2018. Anyway, she was watching TV. I hope she wasn't eating. Okay, stop me. Anyway, she was home watching TV, and she heard about this wedding that was taking place in a bomb shelter. She didn't think, she got in her car. She drove down south. She appeared at the wedding.
Really? What
Incredible.
A story.
Yeah.
Oh, how fantastic.
And also, you guys, give yourselves a hug. The holiness of radio. I don't have the name. There was a radio host. Somebody called this radio host and said, there's a problem. There's a couple. They're getting married tonight and their hall canceled. Yeah. You know, they're not letting anybody in. No responsibility. The radio host made an announcement. Within seconds, a hall opened up somewhere up north and they sent in buses and all the guests came up and the wedding was held up here. Sadly, these are Israelis at their best. We do very, very well. You know what they say about, you know, putting something in boiled water? Something about tea bags. I don't remember. But Israelis do very, very well. As ornery as they are, as crabby, as pushy, as crazed, there is a unifying factor. And there's an enormous Zionist pride, and there's anger, terrible anger. The guy that was targeted, he was targeted not because the military was bored one day and said, let's test out our new big guns. They knew from intelligence that this arch terrorist was planning other heinous crimes, and they did what they do best. They protected us. And the response? Cutting off noses despite their face, blocking off the Gaza entryway to their own food trucks now. Every missile, again, could have built a classroom. To keep a Jewish child in Modi'in home from school is a crime. Apparently, they don't look at their own children and think about the crime, the horrors that are being imposed upon them by them. It's heartbreaking. It's absolutely heartbreaking.
Yeah. Andrea, I just hope and I pray that next week is going to be a more peaceful week, and wish you a Shabbat Shalom. Just before I let you go, I want to just tell you that the radio host was Kalman Liebskind, and
excellent.
He was from Khan
yeah.
Reshet Bet. Yeah, no, the story. It was a beautiful story.
Yeah, yeah, great station, by the way, Reshet Bet. If anybody wants to work on their Hebrew, just keep it on in the background, in between listening to Chai FM, okay?
And Israel News Talk Radio, not
and
to forget that.
Israelnewstalkradio.com.
Thanks, Andrea.
And then I'll fill you in next week on all the Shabbos project.
Yes,
activities.
We definitely want to hear about that. Thank you so much. And Shabbat Shalom. That's Andrea Simontov.